Hey everybody, Brandon here. Welcome to the episode about Looper. We will be getting into some minor spoilers, but most of the conversation will be talking about the world building that Rian Johnson made, all the cool technology, and time travel talk. And also, we ask, what are you doing today to help the older version of yourself in the future? And with that, enjoy.
Hello, Nomads, and welcome to episode 128 of the Nomads of Fantasy podcast. My name is Eric, and I am your host on this time-traveling adventure, but I'm not alone. I got a couple other time travelers with me as well. I have Brandon.
This time travel crap just fries your brain like an egg.
And I also have Dave.
I guess everything does come back around, like your goddamn ties.
There you go.
Both Abe.
Were those both Abe quotes?
Yeah, both.
On that one? Nice. Okay.
Jeff Daniels.
Yep, Jeff Daniels.
Who I forgot was in this movie.
In this movie. Yeah, absolutely. If you don't know what these quotes are from, you should. Well, maybe you don't, because I don't know. But these quotes are from the movie Looper. It came out in 2012, directed by Rian Johnson. Starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and most importantly for us, Bruce Willis, with the Year of Bruce. Yep. We started out a little bit slow on the Year of Bruce. So far, we've only done Sin City in the Year of Bruce, but we are going number two for Looper this time around. But we're going to get some more Bruce on the schedule. This is Year of Bruce, and we should be celebrating all that is Bruce Willis. And I was actually looking at Bruce Willis' filmography earlier and realized there's a lot of movies that I have not seen of his.
That Bruce Willis, like, early 2000. Check out. Early 2000, yeah. Random ones, like...
Tears of the Sun or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Well, I think I have seen Armageddon, but, like, when I was a kid, so I don't really remember it all that much. So, like, even some of the bigger ones, you know.
Sure.
I haven't really seen.
He did the voice of the baby in Look Who's Talking.
Look Who's Talking. Yeah. Yep. That's right. Yeah. So, there's definitely
a hell of a career.
Definitely a couple big ones. I mean, I guess you could say that this was a shared cast. Like, he was the main character. There's two main characters in this movie.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, he's the main character.
They play the same character though.
Yeah,
so you could argue, but whatever. We'll get to that in a minute. Yeah, we didn't get any social this week, but I just want to promote our social, especially the Discord. If you want to join us, chat with us about movies, video games, TV shows, whatever, Pizza Hut, Burger King, anything that's on your mind, come over, join us at the Met.
Do we have a channel dedicated to Pizza Hut? Because if we don't, we should.
No, we just have a food channel.
There's a food channel.
Just a food channel, which is like a catch-all.
I'm
but
itching to get
we
some
should
Pizza
get
Hut,
a dedicated
man. I haven't
Pizza
had
Hut
it
channel.
In like a month and a half.
It's yeah. It's,
we have
it's
a side hot. Episode where we debate how stuffed crust is garbage.
You shut your mouth.
Well, you're going to lose that argument too.
We're going to argue about it for days, but you guys will be wrong.
We can do a tier list on Pizza Hut items, menu items. That would be fun.
Yeah. Okay.
That would be fun. But yeah, join us over the nomadsoffantasy.com/discord if you want to chat with us there. But I'll swing it over to Dave to tell us what we got on the schedule.
Check out the weather.
Dave with the weather.
Yeah, see over here next week. Beginning of March, we're going to be doing our catch up for what we've been playing for all of March. I know me and Brandon been
and watching
in a couple. Stuff,
I found a
and
TV
watching.
Show. Yeah, sure. Started. I don't know how far I'm going to get.
Been watching stuff. Haven't been playing a ton of stuff, but been watching.
A Balatro update for everybody to hear.
Oh, yes.
Please.
Yes, absolutely.
and then Eric's going to be having a baby, so me and Brandon are going to hit up the Fellowship of the Ring. We're going to follow Frodo all the way down to Mordor.
No, you're not. Not in Fellowship of the Ring, though.
Well.
Fellowship of the Ring, he fucking finds his way to like
third
a stream.
First third.
And then
see,
like,
this
Rivendell.
This
sorry.
Is the type of stuff I'm excited about to hear you guys argue about.
Yeah. I was wrong there. I'll admit that.
This will be my last full, like, you know, the main episode of the podcast. I think we're doing a catch up next week, so that'll be my last one before I go on leave for the month of April. But
sure. Yeah.
So we'll do our best in your absence, but we'll be excited when you do return.
I'll be listening. I'll be listening and critiquing.
Yeah, we could get creative on how to interject or get you in some of these missing episodes.
Yeah, I gotta get some video tutorials. Maybe I'll put in some star wipes and some fancy stuff.
Oh, there you go.
We'll see.
There
you go. At the end of April, we're going to be heading back into Star Wars. I know we were just there, but we're going to hit up some Rogue One to rewatch that. Since we have some differing opinions on that. That one is I think it's a universally loved.
Yeah, it's not a bad movie.
Universally loved here.
How hot we're on it. And I think some of us are more hot on it than others, at least between us three.
Absolutely. We got
I will be rewatching in spirit. Yes, I'm excited about the Fallout show.
Fallout show, I can't wait to talk about that one with you guys too. So, yeah, lots of fun stuff coming up. So, that's it for the weather over here. Back to you at the news desk.
All right. Well, thank you, Dave. With that, we'll take a little break right about here, and when we come back, we're gonna talk about Looper right after this. We have gone back to the past, to the year 2044.
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah, if you don't know, we're talking about Looper. This was released in 2012, like I said, directed by Rian Johnson. It's classified as a sci-fi action thriller, you know, time travel movie. I'm always a sucker for time travel movies.
Same.
I don't know about you guys, but
totally.
Any movie involving time travel,
right.
I'm pretty much there for right away. All you have to say, time travel, I'm in. I always like to see how different movies handle time travel, you know, the timelines, the concepts. So we'll get into all of that. But starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt, obviously Bruce Willis, Emily Blunt, and can't forget Jeff Daniels. Also as Abe.
Yeah.
This movie was critically well received and did actually fairly well at the box office. Budget of $30 million, box office $176 million, so not too shabby. It's got like 80s in Rotten Tomatoes, all that good stuff, so relatively well received when it came out. This came out in 2012, so this was at the height of my like movie going days. You know, I was at the movies like probably twice a week during this time.
Okay.
So we were seeing everything that came out. This was one we saw that actually, you know, you see a lot of movies and a lot of them just kind of you forget about. But this is one that stuck with me for a long time as one that I really enjoyed when we first saw it. So I watched it. We watched it once when it first came out. I think we watched it once shortly after, like maybe a year later, but it's probably been at least 10 years since I've seen this movie. I have a good history with it. I know, Brandon, you've seen it before, right?
This is my second viewing. I saw it when it first came out, and then I saw it, finished it today.
Just meow.
Yeah, just meow. And Dave, this is first timer here,
first
right?
First time.
For Looper. All right.
This is my first loop.
Hit us with it, Dave. What do you think?
Yeah, I want to hear it. Impressions.
It was an interesting one. I expected a little more action. It got a little slow in the middle. The pacing kind of slowed down. That first part of the movie is pretty intense. you know, the getting out of the city and everything. When the farm starts and the kid with the T.E., is that what they call it? T.K.?
T.K.
T.K., yep.
Telekinetics. Telekinetic, yeah.
Yeah, that was a little, that threw me for a loop. That was a little twist on, you know, what was going on. I kind of had the feeling that the kid was going to, he had some weirdness going on with him, but.
Oh, yeah.
No, I liked it. I thought it was really good. It's something that, like, once you kind of know the twist, it probably changes your second and third viewing of this movie. Kind of knowing how it ends and kind of looking for some of those other things or things that I couldn't figure out what was happening. Like when the first runner gets away, mm-hmm. like body parts started disappearing and I didn't really know what was going on. But then what? After kind of like,
oh, really?
Figuring it out or, you know, reading online, I'm like,
oh, okay. Really?
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. Like, why isn't Bruce Willis? Why isn't stuff on Bruce Willis just like disappearing and stuff? Because the dude's fucking nose disappeared.
But you know why?
They cut his fucking nose in the present. They cut his nose off.
When he was young, they were mutilating him. So old version of him would not have these things.
Well, it makes sense now, but yeah. I wasn't fully into the loop because he had the thing written on his arm.
They were marking it. Mm-hmm. So in the future. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
So, I love stuff like that. It's very clever. You don't really see that in future movies. Usually it's just one goes in one time, you know, and then like maybe something gets interrupted and if butterflies into something right. else. But mm-hmm. this was like,
or if something changes, then you might not exist anymore. Yeah.
Right.
It's very true. And like, I don't know, just the way that they handled the time travel, I thought was kind of interesting. It seemed like very straightforward, like logical, like we're not going to worry about any of this other side bullshit. We're just going to worry about people traveling through time. So
before we get too far into the conversation, I do want to give just a slight overview of the plot for everyone out there listening, whether you've seen this or you haven't seen it. Just a quick plot summary. Just so we're all on the same page. But so we have Joe in the year 2044, only 20 years in the future from current day.
Getting almost to time travel.
We're going to have flying bikes. Yeah. We're going to have flying cars.
I was going to say, do you think we're going to have time travel in 50 years from now?
Fuck no.
I don't think so.
But. Have you seen TikTok lately?
It's all burning to hell. Yeah. But Joe is what they call a looper, which basically the crime syndicates, he works for a crime syndicate that's from 30 years into the future when time travel has been invented. They send back the people they want to kill. The loopers are at the time and place where the target is going to appear at that specific time, shoot them, dispose of the body, boom, bing, bang, boom, done, they get paid.
But only the bad guys are sending people back.
Yeah, it's illegal to do time travel. They discover it in the future, but it's quickly like we cannot do this because you can go back in time and really fuck shit up. So it's illegal.
Yeah, exactly.
But mm-hmm. the crime syndicate says, "Yeah, but you fucking take out some Tony over here. He's
easy
done.
Easy way to get rid of a body of them.
Where's the fucking FBI time travelers? I want some time cops in this.
Well, then watch some Jean-Claude Van Damme, motherfucker.
I know to come back and kill the loopers.
Yeah, Looper 2 relooped, looped again. So Joe's all good. He's enjoying what he's doing. He's making money. He's stashing his silver to go to France. No, the Gap Man are the guys are the muscle that work for Abe.
Those are the Gap Men to keep
the loopers in line. Yeah, the loopers. Cool so Joe's doing his job. He's all good. But then we get introduced to this concept of closing loops, which basically means they send your future self back to you, and then you unknowingly kill yourself. And then you see a huge payment. It's a much bigger payment than normal. And you're like, oh shit, this is me. So that kind of puts a clock on your life. Like, okay, you have 30 years left. Enjoy it while you can, because you're gonna die in 30 years. That's kind of the plot. We can kind of jump off from there in whichever direction we want to go. But
how did you guys like it with your latest viewing? So as good as you remembered it?
I forgot a lot. I just remember the ending and the concept. I think there are some pacing issues. Like I think it's a really good movie though. Like I can't really complain about anything. I'm nitpicking. But back then I had one main issue, and I have it more so now, I think. It's just very distracting. The young Joe...
The pacing, you say?
No.
Or not the, oh, no, not the pacing. Oh, the makeup. Yeah, the I know makeup, where you're going
the this. Prosthetics that they put. Yeah. I appreciate that they went for it. But the end result...
I agree.
It didn't look like him. He acted... He did a great job acting and sounding like him.
The mannerisms, yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because we've watched a lot of Bruce on this podcast. We have done probably like 6 movies of the guy by now from just 4 years of doing this. But the prosthetics was just... I couldn't... He just looked weird. He just looked...
It didn't weird. Look Dude, like Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Like it was kind of... Like, I didn't like really notice...
of them. It looked like an idiot. He looked dumb. He just looked silly.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a shame because...
It wasn't him, right.
I've seen movies where, like, you just assume, hey, that's what he looked like. Yes, we know what young Bruce Willis looks like, but who fucking cares? Just let him act and be him.
There's a cool... So Joseph Gordon-Levitt actually... So originally Rian Johnson wanted just Joseph Gordon-Levitt to play both versions of Joe, young Joe and old Joe. But yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt was the one that actually advocated, like, no, you should get a well-established actor to play the old version of Joe. Mm-hmm. So Rian Johnson kind of took that advice and was like, okay, we'll go with Bruce Willis. And so every day for shooting, Joseph Gordon-Levitt spent like 4 hours in makeup getting these prosthetics on.
Wow.
And he studied for like a long time. Bruce Willis's movies, he would watch them like over and over again, trying to replicate his mannerisms and all that stuff. But I agree, the end result with the makeup, like there's the scene in the diner where they're sitting across the table from each other, and if you pause it and compare like even just the facial structure and the nose, it's like they don't look anything like each other.
Like, but like,
yeah, his nose broken or something. I didn't even really notice it. I just thought his like, because this was after Inception. Like, so this is like first main leading role for Joseph Gordon could have been. But
oh man, maybe.
Like I just thought he like things, but... his face was just rounder. I couldn't really put a finger on it, but I didn't notice it. Obviously, they don't look the same because Bruce Willis looks like his face went through a meat grinder sometimes, most times in movies that he's in.
Yeah, I think if they just stuck, I think the prosthetics were unnecessary. Like, we could make that jump to believe, like, okay, just because he doesn't look exactly like Bruce Willis,
right.
He still acts and talks like
Solo.
Him.
We watched Solo, the Star Wars story, and I was like, how does anybody play Han Solo? But in the movie, in the moment, yeah, this guy's another version of Han Solo. Next, let's go. Let's continue with the story. You know, like I never once was like taken out of it. Like, but he's not Harrison Ford. But he wasn't even trying to be Harrison Ford. He was acting like Han Solo, you know, and that was about it. But this movie, man, his acting was on point. He really did act like Bruce Willis. It's just a shame that he had this bad makeup on him. You know, and maybe somebody can do a deep fake technology version of this movie. Because, hey, we're already covering up the main actor's face anyways with prosthetics. You might as well just do an AI CG version of it and just be done with it. And say, here's young, you know, I don't know. I mean,
I don't know. He was in so many Rian Johnson movies. Looking at now, Looper. He was in The Last Jedi, and then he was in both of the Knives Out movies, so...
He was in Rian Johnson's directorial debut, which was a movie called Brick, and this was in 2005. Which it actually looks really good, and I kind of want to do it for the podcast. It's known as Rian Johnson's like best movie, his directorial debut.
Okay,
it's like a murder mystery thing, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt's the main character. But I was reading up on it a little bit earlier, and it sounded like a good one.
I am interested.
Okay. Yeah, but yeah, I mean. Yeah, I loved the direction of this movie. Apparently, Rian Johnson had been working on this story for a long time, like almost 10 years before
The world building was sound. Like, he had
pretty
much a very tight story with tight characters, and the world was just like, yeah, I can believe most of this.
It's believable, yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, I liked, because it was, like, kind of, like, more practical stuff, like the cars. I liked that they kind of just, like, glued some solar panels onto it. Where Joe was living was kind of like a slummier area.
Yes,
it takes place in Kansas City. Okay. So like in the future there, you know, there's fucking people in the streets, living on the streets, you know,
shooting each other in the streets. It's like
shooting each other on the streets. Joe's zipping through in his Miata, like just trying to avoid running over people. But it was kind of cool. Like you said, everything in the world made sense. And I liked that they didn't, this movie is about time travel, but they didn't really focus too much on the time travel specifics or the actual science behind it, okay, or the aspects of it.
I had one
which thing. I enjoyed.
No, I agree with, I'll agree there, but I didn't like the exposition. I didn't like the narration from the actor. I didn't, or the Joe.
Like in the beginning? Joe.
In the beginning and the end.
Where he's explaining everything?
I feel like the story in the world building was strong enough that I didn't need to hear him talking about, a loop does this, a closure does this. Like,
you gotta know all that stuff, though, but for it to make sense.
I was thinking about this. I'm watching this movie, and it just shows him in the field. Somebody shows up, shoots him, and he disposes the body. And it's just like, that's pretty fucking cool. What the hell did I just see? I think that might have been, again, I know this got really good reviews, but to me, if I didn't see that voice or hear that voiceover, I would be more interested and excited because, like, the hell, he's aiming a gun in the air at nothing. And then somebody showed up out of nowhere. No! Pff, gets killed. He flips the body over, takes these plates out, silver plates out, you know, and then he burns the body. I think that
is interesting.
You gotta know
the rules. You gotta know the rules of
the looping. But there's ways you can show those rules because they do that later on. He's talking to the kid. He's explaining things.
The way I viewed
it. Even with him explaining it, I didn't get it.
The way I viewed the explanation was like, he was almost explaining it to someone else, maybe not the audience, but like someone else, you know, later in his life or whatever.
Hey, I'm a looper.
I could go both ways.
You need is like a 30-second scene where it's like, hey, don't mess with him. Why? He's a looper. What do you mean a looper? Hey, what's a looper? And it's like, oh, they kill people from the future or something like that. Hush, hush, don't talk
about it. Yeah, I don't know. But I could go both ways.
Because it's like when you watch Blade Runner. Excellent sci-fi movie, right? There's a version where there's no narration exposition, and then there is. And like that was the producer's like, no, people need to know everything. And I'm like, no.
I feel like there wouldn't have been an opportunity, at least with the way the story was structured. I mean, Joe was kind of a loner. He had his friend Seth.
Right.
But Abe explaining it to who? Joe again? Oh, you're a looper. You kill people that we send back. You know,
you could have a young kid that just joined the team. Take him out and show him. There's ways you could have done it, I think. Instead, I wasn't a fan of it. I'm not a fan of over like the character narrating and doing that. I'm not a fan of that in general because I think that's lazy storytelling. I think it's just like, hey, we might have a fucking black screen with text that says in the future.
They used to do that.
Yeah, I know. Good. And I'm just like,
they used to do that.
But
otherwise, you know, it's an A24 film. It's just like, doesn't tell you anything.
They don't tell you shit. Right.
Guess and figure it out.
I like that. I think that's cool. Because the world building this was only, so good. They could have pulled it off.
Anyway. I usually don't like that. But for some reason, I didn't really have a problem with it in this movie. I think because he wanted you to get into the story and into knowing exactly what's going on right away.
Sure. So you can focus on Joe board and the character arc of Joe, like living in this situation where he's not a good guy. He's not doing good things.
He's a junkie
and he's just killing people. He just did whatever he could because he didn't have much anyway. So he's just kind of like, this is the life I was given. I was given a gun. And that means something. Cause in that future looks like it's fucking not, the future does not look
good.
It's
not a good time. No.
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 Shit's falling apart. People are like, I mean, he spends his days and nights like just taking this eyedropper drug and going to the titty bars. Like,
right.
Yeah. What else? Yeah. You know, it's got to get old after a while.
I think, you know, as opposed to, I was saying before, like typical time travel movies, I feel like they focus a lot on like the science and why, you know, or how the time travel was invented or how it works. They didn't do any of that in this movie, which I appreciated because it gave us more time to focus on the story and the characters itself. Like, it didn't need to be bogged down by all the time travel. Joe even said time travel exists in the future. That's all there is to it. You know, And we just accept that in this world. And then it gives us the rest of the time to just focus on Joe as a character, you know, his motivations, his dealing with his future self. So, I appreciated that about this movie.
It's sci-fi. You don't have to explain anything anymore, but
no,
you know, it happens. Things happen.
You do. You got to explain loopers and closers, but you don't have to explain the technology. And they do a pretty good job with that. They just, Joe and Joe are like next to each other and they'll just like, hey, we could talk about this and make fucking diagrams with straws. Let's not talk about the, you know, we got to figure
out. I do like how they did reference it like that. Like, yeah, you know, we're not going to get into it. Like,
right.
It's
right.
Almost like just, they're talking about us.
It's fine. Another funny thing that I was reading about, you know how Joe's learning French in the beginning of the movie because he wants to go to Paris after he gets out of, you know, after he closes his loop, he's going to go to Paris and spend the rest of his days, blah, 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 whatever. Apparently, they wrote that into the story that he doesn't actually go to Paris because they were originally like going to instead of going to China, they were going to go to Paris, but they couldn't afford to go to make it the trip to Paris and film in Paris. So the I guess the producers of this movie is a company like from China or something. So they were like, OK, we'll just pay for a trip to China instead. So that's why he goes to China in the future instead of Paris.
Oh,
because there's that one throwaway scene where he's like, where he's talking to old Joe. He's like, oh, you're learning French, eh? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to go to Paris. And he's like, don't go to Paris. Go to China. And he's like, I'm from the future. Trust me. Go to China.
Yeah, so Jeff Daniels says that. Abe says that.
Go to China. That was old Joe when they're talking in the diner.
Abe does too, though. He's still
doing he does?
He says he's still doing that French shit. He's like, yeah. He's like, take my advice. Go to China. He's just like,
you're right. I think you're right.
He goes, I want to go to France. He's like, trust me, China. So
go to China. Yep.
You're going to kill him? Not if we can help it. Be too cataclysmic a change for the future. Now, what we'll do is dangerous in that regard. So not as dangerous as killing him. On top of which, a man from the future runs free long enough in this time travel shit. Just fries your brain like an egg. Why the fuck French?
I'm going to France.
You should go to China.
I'm going to France.
I'm from the future. You should go to China.
I'm going to France.
You're going.
And then later on, he meets old Joe, and he says, so what the fuck? Do I learn like Mandarin in the future or something like that? He's like, no, you learn French. It's good. It was good. It was worth doing. He confirms it. It was fine. Like, it was a good idea learning French, but he meets a woman out of China, though, that he falls in love with. I think this is a good spin on the time. And when you look at time travel movies, this genre, there's a lot of ways you can do it, you know? I thought this one had a really cool concept where you don't really have a hero in this story. You know, young Joe and old Joe are not good guys.
You're rooting for young Joe.
Most of the movie, he's not. He doesn't fucking care.
I was going to say, he does a turn later in the movie, but at the farm,
he's got a heart of gold because he's not like his dickhead friends.
Sure.
Like, you know, with the prostitute whatever.
But he still rents his friend out for money.
He does.
He could have just given that money up and said, fuck it. And I saved my guy and he got out. But he's just like,
he was never getting out.
Yeah. I think he's just his person. He's selfish. You know, he's always looking out for himself. And I think that is what changes in the future is that he finally meets someone that he cares about throughout his entire life.
But he's willing to kill children to be with the woman he loves because he's changed.
That's what it's about. That's what the story's about, though.
Right.
What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to do to protect what you care about and what you love?
Right.
And that goes for old Joe, and that also goes for Sarah and Sid as well.
Oh, right.
You know,
yeah, okay.
It works both ways there because they're both fighting for something they care about, even though they might have to do something they don't want to do, or, you know, they might know something bad is going to happen if they do this thing. So there's that push and pull from both sides of it. But yeah, dude, that was really tough.
It's cool because like who do you root for? Because old Joe has finally figured it out how to be a decent person, and he had love, and he's just trying to get back to his love. It's a very good thing, but it's also selfish because he's willing to hunt down and kill children to stop his wife from being killed.
That's fucked up.
Because that's what he wants, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And then just like the young Joe, he's selfish, but he's slowly learning the big picture, which is like, man, a lot of harm and evil could be prevented if I just end my own life. You know,
and I mean, that's the thing. Moment.
I mean, I didn't mind him the whole like move. I was, you know, once he gets clean and sober, like he seems to get his head back on his shoulders a little bit. But I don't know. In the beginning, I didn't. You know that he's not a scumbag, like his like.
No, he's not other a bad like the other guy, guys. But he's
selfish. Selfish is his main trait. It's all about Joe. You know, he's looking out for himself.
Yours 2044, bro. You got to be a little bit selfish. You end up like those scumbags out there.
But Dave, it's a good conversation. Survival like, what is the young version of you doing now for the future version of yourself? Are you eating healthy? Are you, you know, working on like how to be better with money? Are you
slugging out a margarita? But that's like,
you know, it's something to think about, right? You know, and this movie does do a pretty good job of just like the young version and the old version, how they are like totally synced with each other. It's just that with time travel, they are in the same world at the same time. So one guy's literally getting body parts lobbed off.
Yep.
You know, and the other ones were literally like carving into his arm, meet me at this diner, you know, kind of thing. Like you will do self-mutilation to communicate something. I don't know. I've just never seen that really in a
too much on the line
time traveling movie before. But yeah, Joe in general is a good person. He was dealt a bad card by living in the streets and basically being hired by Abe and like a bunch of thugs, right? Gave him a gun, all that stuff.
He wasn't really given a choice in life. Yeah.
Right. But this kid, Sid, has the opportunity because he'll have a mom who loves him in a good spot. She will do whatever it takes. He didn't have that. And he kind of turned into like a selfish bad guy. So he finally figured it out, took himself out, and closed his own loop. But Sid has the opportunity because he's destined to be the Rainmaker. And this Rainmaker is some guy in the future who's just hell-bent on getting revenge on all the Loopers because they killed his mom, right? So Joe's loop basically creates a lot of problems. You know, for him to, that was a selfless act because he wasn't ending his life. He was saving all those kids.
He was breaking the cycle. Yeah.
All those young kids, well, see, how does that work? So old Joe,
don't think about it too hard.
My brain don't think about it too hard.
No.
But like he, cause old Joe goes out and starts killing, at least kills one kid. He tries to kill the other kid, but he gets zapped, but he kills that one kid. Right. And it happens when Sid is in the present time in the movie. So if young Joe is killed, old Joe is not able to come back and kill that kid. So does that kid come back to life? Like the world will change.
I don't know. That's
right?
Why it we breaks don't your know, brain. We don't know I that think. Much. Well, then we get into the concept of like multiple timelines, all that stuff. But like this, they imply that this has already happened before. And obviously the name Loop, I mean, it's not just Loopers. Like the
yeah, it seems like one universe, just different loops. Times.
It's literally, this has happened before. It's kind of, it's looping. They're stuck in the cycle.
Is the and Looper.
Joe breaks the cycle by killing himself. This has already all happened before.
Right.
You know, they're just stuck in this cyclical time loop of old Joe coming back, killing Sid's mom, Sid becoming the Rainmaker, old Joe coming back again. You know, it's a never ending loop until young Joe finally breaks the cycle by killing himself.
Right. Right. Which is crazy because Bruce Willis was in another fucking movie. They had a loop called 12 Monkeys.
Yep.
Well, that's so true. Forgot about that one.
Time travel movie loop with a loop.
That is true though. You can't think too far on it. Like the one part I scoffed at is like, he's trying to figure out what the numbers mean that was written on his hand.
Yeah.
Because it's written at the top of the map that he has at the farm or whatever. Yeah. And he shows it to the mom. What's her name? Sarah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is your house. And then she sees the number at the top and she's just like, immediately pulls the gun on him and like flips out. And she's like, that's his birthday and hospital number or something like that. And I'm like, wait a minute, lady. Like, I understand that you could get his birthday, but you're just going to like pull his hospital number out of the air and like, connect those dots. Like, there was a big like jump. There's some jumps that you got to make to.
Sure. I mean, Joe should have been killed when he was in his apartment. That guy fucking had a bunch of rights on the fucking ladder and he shoots and he misses him. I'm like, oh my God, you're a fucking, your whole job is to be able to take out.
Right. These are supposed to be like hired guns, like the best gunmen
this is the big mob crisis. Can buy. We cannot let this guy get away. You send your better guys. All right, sure, maybe Kid Blue or whatever, but like, what the fuck? Like, this other guy totally had him. He could, you know,
especially at the apartment. Like, he's running right by him, and he's just missing every single shot. There's a lot of stormtrooper
inconveniences. I was just gonna say it's the stormtrooper thing. Like, the hero gets away, doesn't get shot. Although I feel like none of those Gatmen ever successfully killed anybody except like Seth, but that the only reason Seth died was because Joe gave him up in the beginning. So I feel like Abe's got to reevaluate his staff.
Abe had an off-screen death. Was that interesting?
Yeah.
Was that an interesting choice?
Is he dead?
He's got a fucking bullet in his head.
Well, he had a bullet in his fucking head.
Wait, Seth did? Did we see him again?
No, Abe.
Oh, Abe. Yes. Sorry.
When Abe gets murdered by Daniel's fucking character. Old Joe. Yeah.
Who's a great character. Like, I feel like, yes, he's like basically working for the mob from the future. But I feel he had like a father figure kind of vibe going. Like, he's like, hey, listen, guys, we're all in on this. I'm not going to I'll give you an opportunity.
Mentoring Joe.
You know? So, and then what's his name? It's not Kid Joe. What is it? Kid Blue.
Kid Blue, yeah.
Kid Blue, I mean, constantly is given an opportunity, you know?
I was going to say, he's gotten like 100 chances, and he fucked all of them up, and then he finally doesn't get any more.
Yeah, Kid Blue's death kind of meh, though, you know?
He didn't even really need it. Like, you know, he saw a cool scene. Dead Jeff Daniels.
Shooting the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He drives all the way out there, and he just gets murdered, and that's it. Like, he could have just stayed with Abe, and...
Yeah.
We would have never known. Like,
he wanted to prove himself, though. He wanted to bring back Joe.
Yeah.
To prove himself to Abe.
The way people die in this is interesting. A lot of people are killed off screen. I'm thinking about it. Like, sorry, the people sent from the past to the past are killed to glorious effect. Okay, you know, you kind of get that whole thing with the money and all that stuff, with the looping and all that stuff. But the kid is killed off screen.
Can't kill kids.
The
on
guy
which
that
was
gets,
a good,
like,
that was a
you can't
good
kill
choice.
Him on.
Yeah.
Oh please, I know. I don't want to see that. Joe kills himself. It's like he turns it on his chest and he shoots, but like it's like really quick and it kind of ends right away. The death of Kid Blue. He dies in the smoke, but you don't really see him. You don't see people get shot and then go flying, basically.
Yeah.
And then
Abe and Seth.
You don't really see Seth die either. And then even old Seth, you don't really see. You see the gun come out from the darkness and shoot.
Old Seth.
Oh, and then the guy that's
like,
the guy that's being like X-Men to death, you know, where he's getting like the KT from Sid. He's like lifting that.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Guy in the air, and he just.
Oh yeah, he blew up Jesse. Fucking yeah.
Yeah.
That was cool. That was cool. So, yeah. They didn't show it like gruesome.
Yeah.
Apparently
PG-13 rating, maybe is that what this movie was? Was it rated R?
No, there was
rated
boobies.
R.
There
oh yeah, because there's boobs,
blood.
There's boobs.
It was boobies,
bloods,
F words.
We made the boobs.
Yeah,
I like the horny Sarah scene. Cracked me up because she's just like, I'm just laying in my bed in lingerie and I'm just gonna caress my leg, and then all of a sudden I'm I know where this is going. Let's just get this moving.
Joe's in the barn outside. Maybe he wants to, get down.
And he comes all running up, and he's like he's a gentleman, and he's all worried about safety and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, Joe, he's a good guy. See?
He's a good guy, and he's just like, hey, I'll have some sexy time, and then what? You gonna get her pregnant, and then have another kid? Whoa!
Hey! Another
kid turns out to
another
be the
rainmaker
instead. No.
Yeah,
you know,
he starts the whole loop.
Abandon that kid. Yep, yep.
Could be.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, Brandon, what did you think about the kid acting?
It was not bad. It was pretty good.
The kid was like...
I thought it was great, actually.
Weirdly, yeah. Like... Sid. He's weirdly verbal. Like,
for like he's got a very... 7-year-old? Dude,
he looked like he's 7. He's 10.
In the role?
He said he was 10, yeah. I don't know if he's actually 10, the actor, but... In the movie, he's supposed to be portraying a 10-year-old.
No, but okay. he's facial expressions... Now.
And he's only 4'2", short little guy.
Okay.
Yeah, because it seemed like I don't know. I don't want to say he was like a little person, but.
Yeah, something mature about his face.
It was weirdly mature for like the age that he was portraying.
Right.
So, dude, he was basically when he was angry and fucking yelling at Sarah, liar, liar. Like he was legit a fucking scary little kid.
Oh, see, I like
hide in the safe too.
Yeah, that's when it turns into a real thriller because it's just like, I'm not really scared of old
Joe.
What
the fuck is wrong with
this
kid?
I'm more afraid of this kid, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
That's like the turning point. Like, because, I mean, I was, again, like you, Brandon, I forgot a lot of things on this rewatch of the movie.
I forget the whole farm.
As I was watching, I was remembering things because I'm like, why are they killing these kids again? Oh, yeah, Joe's going back to try to kill the Rainmaker as a kid. Then I'm like, oh, that's right, Sid is the Rainmaker. Like, I was slowly remembering these things, but I feel like, you know, for someone first time watching it, I feel like that point where he's like yelling at Sarah, that's like, you know, something's wrong with this kid. You know, this kid's not quite right.
I remember my first time watching it, I didn't put it together until he blew up Jesse. You know, I didn't know. I'm like, this kid just got an attitude. This poor woman's just trying to like be a good person and try to raise a kid. I thought that was just like where they were going with it. But like when he fell, and this is a really cool shot.
Yeah, it is.
When when Jesse's back, he's because he just had sex or something like that. And Jesse's got Sarah, and Joe runs down.
I just got done doing your mom. I'm going to come downstairs now.
Right. I know. We're all doing not Bruce and Willis impressions. So this is great.
Yeah.
But
hey,
that's why I'm a looper. I'm a looper.
Hey, I'm Italian. I like that the scene where like Jesse gets freaked out and he hears something. So he goes and shows his gun at the kid. But then you're like, oh, it's a fucking kid. So he puts his gun away. Right. Mm-hmm. But that kid falls. So as he's falling, Joe goes to save the kid, and it's all in slow-mo. I'm like, okay, I know how this is going to work out. But instead, Sarah is there taking Joe out. And at that moment, I remember like in the theater, and now just like watching it again, I was like, oh, fuck, that's right. Okay, that's a cool idea. Because at that time, you think Joe's going to save the kid, and Sarah's going to be like trying to save the kid. But no, she's like, let this kid fall because it's going to be bad, but it probably...
He's about to explode.
Yeah, because that's how he killed like his own mom and all stuff. And the kids
got
the
sure about that?
What?
Is that he killed his own mom?
Well, there's a line where Joe says, that how his mom died? She goes,
Well, Sarah's his real mom, though.
Well, right. The aunt raised him, but, but he was on a bookshelf and he fell and he got mad and hurt himself. And she died. So we don't know how she died,
it's assumed that's how. Yes.
He blew her up.
Yep.
So she's dedicated to make sure that this kid, you know, it's her own kid. It's a bond that she'll have with her own child. And she's like, I'm going to make him a good person. I can control it. So that's what she's just trying to do.
Yeah.
She's just trying to represent goodness and love.
Yeah,
for a kid,
and I think
Akira like powers, you know.
I think the kid acting really came through in Sid too, because, like after he blew up Jesse, like he didn't do it out of malicious intent. Like he was just it's basically just his version of a temper tantrum.
True.
Like any other kid, like it was an accident.
Like a Dragon
but Sarah
Ball
knew he was going to get upset, so she let him blow up Jesse then.
Right. She knew something bad was going to happen. Like
we'll blow up if we stay in this room because this kid's going to be angry.
Yes, exactly. Right. Yeah. So anything within that radius was done for.
Sure.
So like even his face was covered in blood. He had tears running down his cheek. Like he doesn't know what happened. He didn't know why he did it. It just happened. And, you know, you could tell he felt remorse. So like, to Sarah's point, like if she can raise him, she can help him control it. And he won't become this monster, you know, that everybody thinks he is. So, and she was right, you know.
Is she?
So, yeah. Yeah, because at the end, in the loop, young Joe's like, I see it all happen.
Yeah.
A mom gets killed. A boy is sad, angry, alone. Fucking goes off.
Anything else angry things.
And specifically angry at loopers. That's why he's right. hell-bent on closing them all. That's in the true. Future. Because he's like, you fucking took away my mom. You're fucking a poison or what on society. Who knows what his agenda is. All we know from their perspective is that he's wiping out these guys. So,
well, all the loopers like a good work guy. For crime syndicates, which we could consider evil. So essentially the Rainmaker is killing bad guys. Sure, so is the Rainmaker a bad guy?
Could
well,
be.
He's not just killing those guys.
He just like
he's also
no. Yeah, because he shit. Came out of nowhere and he took over the town. That's what they say. Like the Rainmaker's taken over.
Or whatever.
Yeah, but either way,
he could do anything he wants. Right. Like he's like one of the most powerful, you know, telekinetics that exists.
When did they explain how people became telekinetic? Or they just said eventually.
They just said it's a mutation.
Mutation in the future.
It's a mutation. That's people it. Are born. It's like My Hero Academia. Like. How many ever percent of people are born with superpowers? It's right. only 10 in this world. 10% of people are born with this TK mutation, and they can do fucking float a coin.
They can
or whatever,
they can move basic like metal or little things or whatever it is. I don't know. Yeah, move.
But
stuff.
But Sid was this super rare case where he's like super powerful. You know, much more powerful than
and
normal,
Sarah has it.
People,
she just doesn't show it off. But she seems a little stronger than other people because she said the boys would try to show off.
That.
And she said, and I like to push it down. So you already knew that she was more powerful than just like normal TKs. But she gave birth to a son. So maybe she had sex with another man who had a good, you know, it's like the fucking Force, basically.
Super
but,
TKs.
Right? It's genes.
Yeah. But yeah, he's basically a super TK, which is still cool. Just like, because it's funny, not funny, but it's interesting that it's a time thriller movie. It's like, all right, time travel. I love this shit. And you get this whole dilemma of young Joe and old Joe. But then you have this whole other side concept of there's just this mutation that people have.
Yeah.
With telekinesis. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it didn't
it's
have
almost
to
like
be
a,
in there.
It's almost like a throwaway thing at the beginning, too. Like, they don't even really...
And I love
Seth
that.
Is just doing his shit, and they're like, oh, yeah, some people are born with this TK mutation.
Right.
But then it doesn't really come back around until
the very
Sid.
Last act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Totally agree. So I think that's great that cool. writing. He took his time with it. It wasn't like somebody threw a coin in the air and shot a bullet off. You know, like, there was none of that shit. It was just like, it's a parlor trick. Look at you. Wow, you can move a fucking lighter or a coin. Wow.
But he planted that seed in your brain in the beginning.
Right.
And then at the end, you're like, oh, shit.
But
this
you could
kid
be crazy
is a fucking
powerful
super
with it.
Powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can vaporize people like a fucking grenade went off.
Yep.
I've dealt with temper tantrums like that. It's no fun.
Oh, yeah. That's what's scary about it. It's just like kids can just
there's
like...
No...
Fly
there's
off
no
the
off
handle.
Switch.
There's no reasoning.
No.
There's no reasoning with them. You can't... No. Yeah, they're just in a frenzy.
I think it would be interesting if Looper, I do this a lot, but if Looper was on like a TV show. I just think you could have a bunch of Loopers, you know, and some of them get closed.
Anthology
you could
style,
have some that
yeah.
ran away, you know, and you could have some ones that are running around. Then you have some TK. Like, I think the world building in this is really good. And I'd be interested in at least seeing a TV show version. You know,
follow the Rainmaker as just... he works in as an undercover police officer in a dirty, grimy city. Make it like
right. He's like not supposed to use his powers, but you know, if he really needs to, he can use his TK powers if shit goes down.
Oh yeah, there you go.
But if anybody finds out, you know,
he's off of the squad. We're taking fucked. Your badge.
Yeah, right.
You know.
I'd be more interested, yeah, like an anthology, follow a bunch of different loopers and all of their shenanigans.
Because they're still technically in business, right? Because
right.
if the Rainmaker doesn't get created, then...
Right, after Joe stops the loop, the cycle, then yeah, that's where the time travel stuff gets a little wishy-washy,
right?
Because like you said, does Joe doing that reverse everything, or does this just stabilize the timeline from here on out? You know, it's weird because like I don't think you can change anything that already happened, but going forward it will change things. You know, yeah, it's weird.
And that's right.
Like you can change the future, but you can't change the past. You know,
the crime syndicates will have all the, they will get time travel again, and then the crime syndicates will just start sending people back again. So
right. It's poised for an HBO series, you know, right now.
It is a very cool concept. You know, other than the pacing issues at the beginning of the farm where it slows hell down. I don't think my wife even made it a half hour in to this one. She was just out. So
I didn't mind the time on the farm. Just we needed a little bit of character building with Sarah and Sid, and obviously with Joe kind of making the turn, realizing, you know, becoming less and less selfish, starting to care more about what happens to Sarah and Sid.
I would like to see more Joseph Gordon-Levitt in films. I don't know if it's just me, but
yeah,
he was in a lot of movies.
In this like 2010s era, he was in a lot of movies. He was in I don't know if you guys ever saw that movie. Was it Don John with Scarlett Johansson? He's addicted to porn or whatever, and he's like a hardcore Catholic, but he's addicted to porn, and he can't give it up. And like his girlfriend is Scarlett Johansson, and she's always like giving him shit about. I remember that one though. That was from around the same era.
I'm looking at this guy. I didn't know he's a day older than me. That's fucking crazy.
One day older than you?
Yeah, February 17th, 1981. Oh, I don't know. I thought he was a couple years younger than me. I didn't know that he's the same age as me. Yeah, it's movies though.
I mean, he did the Sin City. I started watching the Dame to Kill For, the
second one
sequel, and yeah, you know, that seems solid in that too.
Bruce Willis. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, he's 2010s era was I think his era.
A lot of little ones, and then he just drops like he was in the Snowden movie as Edward Snowden, and then he was just like
there was also
a voice in The Last Jedi, like he was just a. I don't even know who Slow and Low is. We'll have to look up that on our next obscure Star Wars characters.
There was a movie, I forgot what it was called. Premium Rush. That's what it was called.
Sounds where like a racing
he plays a like a courier on a bike in a city, but he's like, you know, they're all racing to deliver these packages as fast as they can without getting hit by cars and shit.
Was that good?
It was. I remember liking it.
I like that concept. Like,
I remember it being pretty intense.
So small, like that, just like a fucking character in a city, just doing something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It was cool.
Simple, like a fucking bike ride. Did you know that he was in Angels in the Outfield? This is like when Eric was born, but it's a 1994 movie.
Know that
with Danny Glover. Yeah, Angels in the Outfield. It was a baseball movie.
I've seen that.
They were really bad
a long time ago.
And then this kid
isn't Christopher
see
Lloyd
Angels.
In that one too.
Yes. Yeah, Christopher Lloyd, I think, was one of the angels. But he's the main kid. It's just funny that he's been around for a while.
That's funny.
He might have just
made his money, dude. I mean, he hangs out with comedians and actors.
He was getting involved in some video game stuff too. I remember he was advocating
just be taking a break.
What it was.
He's like, I made my money. I've been like the young hot guy in Hollywood for a bit. Let me do my own thing now. Maybe the roles are drying up and he's switching over to maybe directing. Who knows?
In The Last Jedi, his scene is he's the alien on the beach that tells the police about Finn and Rey landing their.
Oh,
their,
really?
The thing on the ship. That's all he was.
Oh, yeah, they
was
parked just, over there. I said you can't park over there.
that was fucking. Joseph
Gordon-Levitt.
It's weird. See, I love it when they have like these little side, like off, like. You would never.
Was that enough to get you to like that movie yet, or is it still?
It's getting there. I mean, I need another rewatch. I don't know. That's
good.
Cool.
It's good stuff.
He's in the new Beverly Hills Cop movie too. So,
oh, okay.
Really?
More stuff coming out. So,
okay, cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys got anything? Any closing comments on on Looper? I feel like we've talked about
it in everything. Loops.
No, I think remind
now
people
let's do it again. No.
To go back and watch this one. I think it's easy to say, yeah, it was good, but no, seriously, it's a good sci-fi movie. It does some very intelligent things. And I really appreciate the world building that Ryan did for this one. It's actually pretty good compared to other movies. They kind of, they focus on the right things. They didn't focus on the technology, just the concept and just showing the world, like you said, the fucking solar panels on an old car, like that's what you would see. You would see that makeshift technology, like, oh, I'm not rich enough, so but we'll do this to get a powered car or something like that, you know. So the I appreciate it.
I 100% agree. Like they did some things in this movie, some interesting things with the concept of time travel and how, you know, the stuff that you do in the present affects your future self and all that stuff. Like some of the stuff I've never seen done in a movie about time travel before, so I appreciate a lot of those things. The world building, I mean, the performance, we didn't even talk about the performances, but everybody, I think we didn't really need to talk about them because everybody did great. You know, obviously we didn't really focus much on Bruce Willis as a character or as his performance.
He's charming as fuck with his Asian wife, man.
Hell yeah.
That really bad, like in the short moment that we had of them at version of him, it's like, wow, he really has changed. Because it's when young Joe falls from his apartment, when he's on the ladder and that guy can't fucking shoot a fucking wall, he falls and it kind of goes black. And then we see him and he shoots. So you see how the loop starts. It takes us to like that moment where he kills himself and he's got all that money and he goes to Asia instead of France, right?
Shanghai, yes.
Shanghai.
Goes to China, yep.
Shanghai, specifically. And then, and then you see that 10 years go by and all that stuff. And it's funny, though, there's, like, one scene where they show, like, the first time we're supposed to be seeing, like, like Bruce Willis's, like, younger version, like, the mid version, maybe, like, in his 40s.
Oh.
He's got this, like, weird comb over. And,
like, he's losing his hair, yeah.
That was
great.
a bad haircut. Trying to show the middle, but
just shave it off.
But yeah, but no, it's great. He's so good at his roles that he just you instantly because you're already attached to young Joe, but then I'm already liking this old Joe. I'm like, oh, he's really turned it around. He's blah blah blah, and he's just, I like that he I even like how he escapes. I thought that was like a really cool move that he did to get out. I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, like fight for your fucking life, don't just like take it, you know. So I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, I don't think I definitely was not rooting for old Joe when he went back in the past, because he
once you learn what he's trying to
up do shit,
yeah,
right, and what he's, you know, what he's willing to do to get what he wants. But yeah, the performance by Bruce Willis was fantastic.
Hair.
All right. Well, I think that's enough about Lupa. So after we take a little break here, we're going to play a little game to round us out. But we'll do that. It's 20 questions.
Oh,
but
no.
it's a variation on 20 questions.
Okay.
So,
okay.
We'll do that right after this. Quick little game of 20 questions, but I'm doing a little twist on 20 questions. This is 20 questions speed round. All right. So it's going to be this is the hint that I'm giving you. It's all Bruce Willis movies, so that should make it easier.
Okay.
But you have 20 questions to guess three movies.
Wow.
Three separate Bruce Willis movies.
Wow. Okay.
So, you know, the big hint is that they're all Bruce Willis movies. You know that right out the gate. So your object is to narrow down
what the three are.
Three movies, yeah. Okay. So I'll go one at a time, and then say you get the first movie in seven questions, then you have 13 questions left to get the last two movies.
Cool. So, okay. All right. Very cool.
I guess.
You lose if you don't get all three movies.
Question number one. Is this a Bruce Willis movie?
Yes. That's a waste of a question.
We gotta. we can use later questions, though, against, you know, to like, all right, is this first movie part of a franchise?
That's your first question?
Yes.
Is this first movie part of a franchise? No.
Okay.
So when we get to the second one, you're asking if we can loop back and ask if it's part of a franchise.
Oh. Yes, you can do that. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. All right.
So this first movie is not part of a franchise. So it takes out Die Hard and it takes out Look Who's Talking. One
He was in a lot of like random stuff, though, too. There
have
was
we
like Kevin Smith
talked about,
movie.
Right. Have we talked about this movie on the podcast?
On the podcast? No.
Whoa. The podcast? Podcast? God, our accents in Western New York is brutal. Podcast. Is Bruce Willis?
Hold on.
Is Bruce Willis in this movie?
Is this movie after the year 2000?
No.
This is gonna be hard. All right, hold on.
So it's 80s or 90s? We got that.
Right.
It's not part of a franchise. It could be like fucking Hudson Hawk or some bullshit like that.
But none of us have seen that, so I think he wouldn't know enough details to like do this. So I think it's going to be three movies that are fairly known.
I don't know.
But
where are they? Well, start hitting up the ones. I mean, Pulp Fiction, not part of a franchise. That was before 2000.
Pulp Fiction is a good one. Pulp Fiction is a good one.
We haven't done
that. How
would
you even narrow down that?
Is it a Tarantino movie?
Hold on. Is he in other Tarantino movies?
I don't think so.
So what can we ask? That's very like if you get it, then you get. But like, what can we do that could also help us? Like,
right?
You know, like
strategy here.
Yeah, because like in Pulp Fiction, he's not the leading actor. He's just one of many people in it. You know, so like, I wouldn't say he's a side actor in that, but like, is he? Because we gotta be careful. There's three fucking movies we gotta get. You know, we gotta do this each time.
Three questions.
Yeah. So,
is
this a night? I don't know. Did he do a lot of '80s movies? No, he was Honeymooners in the '80s, right?
Moonlighting.
Die Hard. Yes.
Moonlighting. Die Hard.
Think genres too. Yes. Genres will help you with these.
He's mostly done rom coms and he's done all of everything, I guess.
Action movies and.
All right. Does he kill anybody in this movie?
No.
Okay. So that takes out not only Pulp Fiction. But it takes out pretty much any action movie he's in because he's usually killing. But
he doesn't
kill anybody in Unbreakable, does he? And does he kill 90s? Anybody in
Sixth Sense?
In Sixth Sense. I don't think he kills anybody in that. So.
So we got. Now, what was the other one you said? Sixth Sense and what?
Unbreakable.
Unbreakable. Is that 90s? Is that early 2000s, though?
I
think that's early 2000s.
Oh my God! So it's not M. Night Shyamalan movies then.
Could be Sixth Sense though. Sixth Sense wasn't that '90s. We could ask if he's a ghost. Spoiler alert.
He kills people in the Fifth Element. We also talked about that on the podcast. He does Fifth Element.
So. Don't forget about that.
Death Becomes Her.
Is Hudson Hawk in this? Like that's yeah, another, right. Like that's 90s, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know anything about that movie.
I think he's a thief of some sort.
Oh boy, Eric, this is gonna be hard. Sixth Sense? He's been in so many movies. Armageddon was what, 1999? I don't think he kills anybody in that either.
It's a speed round.
Yeah.
So
four questions. So we're gonna be slower than shit. Armageddon was definitely 90s.
Does he die in this movie?
Does he die in this movie?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. He dies in Death Becomes Her. And he dies in
Sixth Sense.
Sixth Sense.
And he dies in Armageddon.
And he dies in Armageddon.
So we narrowed it down to three, I guess.
I don't want to miss a thing.
I was just going to say, is Aerosmith in this movie? Trying to decide. I think it's going to be Sixth Sense or Unbreakable or Armageddon. Right, it's got to be one of those two.
Is because he's a dad in that, but he's not a dad in the other two. So we could.
Okay. Yeah. Is he a dad?
Yeah. Is he a dad? I think so. Yeah.
All right. Well, Liv Tyler is his daughter. So he's a dad and he dies and he doesn't kill anybody else. What other movie in the '90s did he do that would fit that?
I'm drawing blanks. There's been, like you said, there's been so many that. He's not a dad in the Sixth Sense, is he?
Mm-mm. No, he's just.
I haven't seen that in so long.
No, he's just. Oh, married. He's
okay. Well, I don't think he's. I don't think he's a dad in this movie.
Oh,
I'm amending. Wait. He's not a dad in this movie.
Oh, all right. Well, hold on a second. So
we found it.
Oh, that's fine. So I'll just pretend that you just said no to that. So now I'm thinking, because he's not. I've seen that movie a few times, so I know that he doesn't have a kid. He just has a wife, and he really just talks to the kid because he's haunting him. So, that movie came out in 1999, I think.
Yeah. But we should 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What happens if we get one wrong? Do we lose?
No. You can. I mean, you can keep going.
Or it'll just be a question.
You just won't get full credit. Yeah, you could just count it as a question. But I don't want to do that because then I don't want you just willy nilly guessing movies.
Mm. All right, then we'll be very careful. It's gotta be the Sixth Sense.
Because he dies. That's the big part, and it's not part of a franchise.
Spoiler.
Not a dad. I'm good with it. Okay. If not, we'll just use a guess on it.
This first movie, The Sixth Sense.
It is The Sixth Sense.
All right. Whoa. Okay. All right.
You guys were already there anyways, so I was like, no, I guess he's not a dad. I was like, I don't remember if he's got a kid in this movie or not.
All right, well, is this next movie a come out franchise? After the year 2000? Oh, is it a franchise?
I got more right here.
Is it after the year 2000?
Those are both your first two questions?
Yes.
Well, that's those are the loop questions.
That's true. No, it is not part of a franchise. No, it did not come out after 2000. So that's... I'm not counting the guess for the movie as a question.
Oh, perfect.
So
thank you. Okay.
That's eight questions.
Okay. That makes you feel better. That's tough.
Also, these actually. Yeah. So, our loop questions count?
Yes, of course they count.
Oh. I thought we got the loops for free.
No, we don't get those for free. What are you talking about?
I'm looping back.
No, I meant looping back isn't like. Have we mentioned this before?
You can, use those questions again, but they still count.
Has this movie been on our podcast?
No.
Oh my God, it's not
just gonna ask all the same questions.
Yeah, does he die in this? Is he a dad?
Well, we're back to where we were again, though, before.
Oh, he was also in the Jackal.
Jackal, yeah.
He kills Jack Black with a giant machine gun.
What?
Jack Black's in that movie, bro.
And Jackal?
He sells him the gun. He goes, run out there. Let me see how it works. And he starts chasing him automatically. And then he goes, all right, now put your hand up. Blows it off.
Oh, shit. So we could be back to this being Pulp Fiction again. Because it's not a franchise.
That's right.
Not after 2000 and not on the pod.
This isn't Tarantino movie.
You'd ask if he kills anybody again, because...
Oh, that's right, because he kills Vincent.
He does kill Vincent on the toilet.
On the toilet. So, does he kill anybody in this movie?
I don't believe so.
Okay, so it's not Pulp Fiction.
Not
when did Armageddon come out? Could it be Armageddon? No, wait.
It could be. We could ask if it takes place in space.
That's one specific movie. Hold on. What do we know about it? It's not
Fifth Element.
It's not been on this podcast. It's
not part of the franchise.
Probably an 80s, 90s movie. Most likely 90s. It's not Fifth Element because he doesn't kill anybody. Does he? Yep. Does killing yourself count as killing anybody?
Is that a question?
I'm asking Dave that. You don't answer that.
No, I think because we're saying it, does he kill anyone? So it's got to be somebody else. Though.
Okay. So yeah, how can we rule out? How can we rule out?
Because it's not going to be Fifth Element, Unbreakable. Sixth Sense? We already said,
Just did that.
I can cross that one out. Okay, there you go.
Sixth Sense.
Is it that one again?
Is this the Sixth Sense? We are looping.
Yep. Oh my God, Sixth Sense again. I don't know, Dave. The space question. What else can we ask instead of space? Like
7, 8, 9, 10. I mean, we're only on 10, so we got time.
Yeah, you got. Yeah, and you guys are doing good.
Right. Ask a question.
I kind of like the space. Does it take place in space?
Does it take place in space?
Yeah, hold on.
Do they leave the planet Earth in this movie?
Well, if you're going very specific. Okay.
That's the question. Yes. Yes. I was going to, if you said it, does it take place in space? That one was a little.
Yeah. Yeah. Technically.
Does the all last 20 minutes take place in outer space? all right. Sorry.
So it's Armageddon, right? They leave Earth.
What other movie is he leaving Earth? And it's not Fifth Element because he kills people then.
Die Hard 10. Outer space murder.
Yeah, right. I gotta stop the galaxy from killing itself.
Outer space terrorism.
You good with it?
Yeah.
All right. Wait. Armageddon?
Yeah, we haven't done it for the show. Yeah.
It is Armageddon.
Yes. Ah!
Yeah. All right. Two. All right.
Two movies and 11 questions. All right. One more.
Have we called this movie out already?
During the game?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Wow. Really? Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay, so it's not Pulp Fiction. It's not Fifth Element.
After the year 2000.
Hold on, I gotta look it up.
I think it's around that late 80s, 90s, early 2000s. What? He doesn't know.
No, I actually know. It's not after 2000.
It's a 90s movie, late 90s. What late 90s movie did he... Is he... Does he die in this movie?
I don't think so.
Doesn't sound like Eric saw this movie.
I was just going to say that.
What movie?
I honestly don't remember.
If he dies?
I don't remember.
All right. I'm crossing that question off then.
It's not Unbreakable because we said that. It's not Pulp Fiction because we said that. It's not Look Who's Talking 1 and 2 because I said those. So
Fifth Element, Hudson Hawk, in? Jackal, the other ones.
Yeah, right. It's just said all those, and he's acknowledging.
I don't think he dies.
Was there a movie where he did the voiceover for a cartoon? I know we did Look Who Talking, but did he do, like, All Dogs Go to Heaven? Something like that?
I don't think so.
No, that was Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, I get those two mixed up, Burt and Bruce. It's not
Death Becomer.
The Kevin Smith movie was 2000s.
Right, it's not those Red movies. Oh, fuck! No,
Red, wait, those are two. Hold on, can I make an amendment?
Oh, go for it.
Do you still want to go with the dying question?
Oh, I mean, I asked that question, and you said, right? So, or did I ask that question yet?
You did.
The question, so if we count that as two questions,
oh, yeah.
The answer to that question is yes, he does die in this movie. He
does die.
Okay.
Bruce is always dying. He dies in this movie.
Bruce is always dying. I had to look up the ending because I didn't remember.
Wow.
When was 12 Monkeys?
We talked about it. I already named that movie.
Oh, we did mention it. Okay.
Hold on. Have we talked about this on the podcast?
Yes.
Okay. Could be Sin City. No, wait. That's 2000s. Fuck.
I also, the first question, I said, I don't think so, so don't trust my memory.
On what?
If we mentioned it.
The first question was,
did you mention it? Oh, my God. Another amendment. All right. It's totally
I don't. You can't blame me.
He's trying to be cheeky. It's another time-traveling movie, and he's making that deal.
12 Monkeys?
He dies at the end of 12 Monkeys because he gets shot, and then he sees himself as a kid,
at the airport,
seeing himself die, yeah. And it starts that loop. It'd be very fitting for him, but very poetic to end this episode with it being 12 Monkeys. So, is Brad Pitt in this movie?
Yes, I think.
Yes.
You think? Or you know?
What do you think? He's the other like main character.
I guess I don't remember a lot about this movie.
Oh, really? It's a good movie. Is it 12 Monkeys?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
How many questions was that?
That was 14.
Okay, so technically, if you counted the guesses too,
you still would have got.
You still
have
to get under. Okay.
Man, we were getting good.
Well,
at
I
this.
Fucked up that last one because apparently I really like 12 Monkeys, but I don't remember a lot about that movie. I guess.
Right.
There were some weird parts in that one.
Wasn't for his sure. name Joe in that too?
His name was Cole.
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 Yeah. Cole. Yeah. Yes. Well, good job, gentlemen. You Woo. Solved the loop.
What happened?
Broke out of the
where
loop.
Where do we go? Where, you go to time camp?
You're going to China. Shanghai.
Oh, yeah. His wife was pretty
to,
cute.
I was so. Going to say, to meet a nice lady and settle down in the country out there.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds pretty good to me.
It was.
Yeah, that was a fun one. But... Let's get out of here. That was another good entry in the year of Bruce. Looking forward to doing some more. We'll have to line up the next one.
Bruce Willis, 20
really
questions
do...
is a good. You don't realize how many fucking movies the guy has done, but he's done.
He's done a lot.
He's
I looked,
done a he's se- lot.
74 movies
wow.
in total was his
Damn,
filmography.
Bro.
That's a lot.
He's done a lot of like semi-recent ones within the last like, you know, 5 years. That
okay,
like,
he was
I,
doing. Right
I didn't
up until
even
his
know.
Dementia?
Yeah, he released one last year. Like I don't know if they might have filmed it like
yeah,
in 2022.
Sure,
but like there was a movie last year that was released with Bruce
oh,
Willis.
That's awesome.
Like, shit. Hmm. Okay,
I might have to see his last movie. Honestly,
I know. I want to. It makes me looking at all the movies he's done. It makes me want to see more because it makes me realize there's a lot that I haven't seen.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll get some more. We'll get some more on the schedule for the year of Bruce. But in the meantime, we'll get you out of here. Thanks for joining on this episode of Talking About
well,
Looper.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks
oh,
for
them,
joining
sorry,
me,
them,
fellas.
Them, not me. The no man.
Yeah. You guys are always here. I don't care about you. No, I'm just kidding. If you want to follow us on social media, you can follow us at Nomads of Fantasy on Twitter and Instagram at The Nomads of Fantasy on TikTok. You can join our Discord.
nomadsfantasy.com/discord. Join our website. Go to our website, thenomadsoffantasy.com. You can listen to the pod there. You can get some merch. You can play What Map game. If you like guessing video game maps, all the good stuff. You can
just join the Discord if you really want to interact Discord with us.
If you want to keep up on everything.
We're in there all day. At least the three of us are hopping in, and we got some active members in there.
It's always fun.
People suggest stuff, you know. So we've done episodes. Hell, we've even had somebody listen on the show because it's just great. Yep. Great community there.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So all that and more are waiting for you. thenomadsoffantasy.com/discord. I mean, we even have like community game nights sometimes, Mario Kart, all that good stuff. So it's fun. Join in over there. But yeah, I don't got much else. So I will. I don't know why I was. I'll see you guys next time. as always, safe travels, nomads.
Peace out.
I saw a mom who would die for her son. A man who would kill for his wife. A boy, angry and alone, laid out in front of him the bad path. I saw it. And the path was a circle. Round and round. So I changed it.